focal point of God's word today is James 2, verse 26. We've read from verse 14 to the end, but it really comes down in many ways to this verse. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be to God. Amen. 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 I'd like us to focus for this particular Sunday, and perhaps not just this week, but for our entire lives, on our theme for that scripture is a complete living faith. A complete living faith. Have you ever given much thought to what it might mean to need all of something but only have half of it? I mean, imagine getting a call from a friend who says they know you love plants, and this specific vine in particular, and they called you to tell you that they'll bring it right over. They want to give it to you, and they'll bring it right over. And when they get to your door, they hand you that wonderful plant. But the thing is that when they give it to you, half the plant is dead. Now, I can imagine in my mind that there might be some mixed feelings about accepting the plant. On the one hand, it's really the plant you wanted. I mean, you really wanted this plant. On the other hand, it's only half alive. What you thought you were going to receive was a plant that was completely alive and healthy. We could think of it in terms of seeing a glass of water that is either half full or half empty, but either way, it's only half of something. What we want is either a full glass that we might be able to drink from it, or at least a proper way to fill the glass if it's half empty. Our basic desire pushes us to want something that is complete. And I guess if we think about it in terms of our faith, what we really want is something that is complete and living. Our faith has some points to make that are stated clearly. And even though at times the point of what we've said has been argued, the arguments were started a long time ago about what it meant to have faith, to live faithfully, and to provide evidence that our faith is alive as the Christ we believe in is alive. It's the point that Christ is alive, which is foundational to our faith. And as always, the Bible is foundational to the beginning and ending of all of those arguments. And that's where our scripture leads us today. But between the Bible and us, those of us who are alive today, between the Bible and us have stood men and women of faith who have made every effort to lay out for us what it means to live our lives faithfully in covenant with Christ. Those men and women endeavored to write down what they believed it meant to live in faithful covenant with Christ. They wanted us to know what it meant to hold firmly to the principles of Holy Scripture, and what is the book of church structure and the discipline of the United Methodist Church. Faithful people, called people, both laity and clergy, have written words in an attempt to state the faith position of our church. They have offered a preface to what are called the social principles of the United Methodist Church. And it begins with words that remind us that the social principles, while not to be considered church law, are a prayerful and thoughtful effort on the part of the General Conference to speak to the human issues in contemporary world from a sound biblical and theological foundation, as historically demonstrated in the United Methodist traditions. They are a call to faithfulness and are intended to be instructive and persuasive in the best of the prophetic spirit. The statement concludes with these words. The social principles are a call to all members of the United Methodist Church to a prayerful, studied dialogue of faith and practice. A call to prayerful, studied dialogue of faith and practice. And therein lies the heart, not just of our church, but the heart of the words of James, Holy Scripture, and what we want to be our living faith. James was very clear to raise the issue that there is a connection between our faith as we proclaim it and the practice of our faith as we live it. And his words are words that many of us have heard before. He says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. And just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Now, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I'm of the opinion that anything that's dead needs to be buried, even if it's our faith. Because just as Christ has been raised from the dead, so too has our faith become alive in Christ who is alive. And it says something about our faith and the quality of that faith as we live into it and express it in ways that show it's alive. And it has to be a faith that shows an outward expression of what we say we believe in. Because the scripture points us to the truth of what a living faith is all about. And that truth is simply this. Where our faith is concerned, half a faith is an incomplete faith. And it's not that a half of faith is necessarily bad. We need that half of faith that says that we believe in our God. There may be times when we use one half of our faith more than others, times when we need that half of faith that lets us know that God is near to us in order to get us through those times of life. There may be times when we need that believing half of faith to hold us steady during those times of doubt along our faith journey. And there may be times when we only need that half of faith to comfort us because we believe so deeply that God's grace is right there with us in our time of need. But that's only half of faith, and it's not a complete faith. It reminds me of a story that I've probably told before about turnip greens. Years ago, I was serving in a small rural church, and there was a wonderful woman, a beautiful spirit in the church, who asked me if I ate turnips. And I smiled just momentarily as I remembered those times in my mother's kitchen when she would bring in turnip greens and clean the greens and dice up the turnips and cook them up as a side dish with some barbecue and cornbread and fresh tomatoes, onions, and a little macaroni and cheese to make the meal complete. So I told her, yes, I eat turnips. And she said, "Well, Pastor Ron, I got a garden and I grew some turnips and I want to bring you some." And I thought, wow, okay. So I rushed to the store. I got all of the things necessary to fix those greens, and she called me and said, "Can I bring them by?" And I said, "Well, I'm on my way to a meeting." She said, "Well, I'll just stick them in the back door," because that's what they do in rural communities. They One, they don't lock the house, and two, if they bring anything, they always bring it to the back door. So I said, yeah, just sit it inside the back door. I came home from the meeting. I looked inside the back door, and there was a box with a towel laid over it. And I thought, oh boy, okay. So I went ahead and took care of some business, and I picked up the box and I brought it in to the kitchen. I took the towel off, and there were some turnips laying on top, and I started pulling the turnips out of the box one by one. And as I got deeper into the box, I realized there was nothing in the box but turnips. So I called him, and I said, I want to thank you for the turnips. I want you to know I appreciate receiving the turnips. But I have a question. She said, sure. I said, what happened to the greens that the turnips were connected to? And she said, well, I threw those away. And I said, you threw them away? And she could tell the disappointment in my voice. She said, you eat those? And I said, yeah, that's the best part of the turnip. And she said, well, I always throw that away. Of course, it was an immediate cultural conflict. But the reality is for me, to get the turnips without the greens was only getting half the turnips. You see, friends, it's impossible to live so long only experiencing half of something that it becomes natural to us. I want you to hear what I'm saying. We can live so long only experiencing half of something that it becomes natural to us. It becomes so natural to us that we begin to ignore the other half and consider the other half unnecessary. Turnips do not grow in the ground without the green tops. And the green tops of turnips do not grow in the ground without the bulbs attached. One without the other makes the whole plant incomplete. And the same is true about our faith. Faith detached from the works motivated by the Holy Spirit of God is only half of faith. And works unmotivated by faith that come from the Spirit of God are only works of self-justification. They too are only half of faith. Both self-justification and faith without works are essentially dead. There are always attempts in our lives for us to rationalize our faith shortcomings, mostly because we don't want to appear inadequate. But it's also because of how we've come to identify faith. We've come to believe or understand that faith is something we have, not necessarily something that we practice. We've come to identify faith as something that we can hold as only a spiritual gift to possess, rather than something that is living and active, displayed as an expression of faith towards someone else. But I'd like you to know that faith, as I have heard and understood it, is as much something that we possess as it is something we can experience. It comes to us as an outward expression of God's love for us. And so faith, as James understood it, was more than believing. Complete faith was an action motivated by the knowledge that God was present in Christ. It was his understanding that Christ was alive and inside of him, motivating him to acts of love toward others. And so faith, as he understood it, could only be expressed as an answer to the question, what would you do if Christ were right here, right now, and you saw someone in need? And for James, the answer could not simply be that we would believe in Christ and that would be the end of it. The answer would be that we would do something, that we would take some action that would in fact change the world. Years ago, there was a movie in which Morgan Freeman starred called Evan Almighty. And Morgan Freeman is playing the role of God, and this other guy, Steve Carell, is playing the role of Evan Baxter. And God has invited Evan to do something. He's invited Evan to build an ark in this 20th century world in which he lives. And what Evan can't seem to realize is that him doing it is as much an act of faith as him believing in God. And he begins, much like Noah did, in terms of questioning why he would build an ark. And so what God is saying to all of us is simply that it's not that Evan didn't believe in God or that we don't believe in God. It is that his belief in God and our belief in God is not always coupled together with something that we do that gives evidence of our faith. God was seeking in Evan Almighty, even though it was just a film, the same thing that God is seeking in each of us, a faith in God that motivates us to take some action. It's not just a simple matter of whether or not we believe. It is believing as if God was alive and right here with us in this space. It's acting as if our faith were contingent on the life of Christ present with us every moment of every day, and Christ is. So our faith is completed by the deeds we do, motivated by the Christ in whom we say we believe. Anything less than that is a faith that is dead and doesn't represent the Christ who was raised to new life and the Christ who, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, is alive in us right now. We don't need to pretend that Christ is present. His Holy Spirit is evidence of his presence. What is needed from us is a complete faith that acts and lives because our Christ lives and acts. And so it is that it's a combination of two halves of our faith acting in concert with one another that is a complete expression of Christ's love in the world. It is that partnership of loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. A complete faith that lives is that combination of putting our awareness of God's presence with us each day into an action of love that gives evidence of it each day. A complete faith that lives is that faith that takes care of the widows and orphans while at the same time believing in our hearts that Christ is alive and has been raised from death to eternal life. Complete faith that lives is that faith that speaks to a world in loving and caring actions about the love of our Christ. And it is that kind of faith, a complete faith that lives, that according to the social principles of the United Methodist Church, calls each of us who say we have faith to a prayerful, studied dialogue of faith and practice of believing and doing. Not faith with words and without works, but faith that is both proclaimed and practiced through us as the living presence of the living God in our world. Only that gives evidence of Christ alive in us and proves that we have a complete and living faith. That is the word of God for the people of God. This